It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A new collection of personal essays from lesbian mothers shows the different ways they had to fight for their right to have children.
9 essays capture the lives and experiences of lesbian parents who formed their families and raised children in Madison from the 1980s through the early 2000s.
Margaret Mooney and Meg Gaines are married with 2 adult children. Their story is part of the book that Margaret edited. The book is called Radical Family. Trailblazing lesbian moms tell their stories. Meg and Margaret, welcome to the program.
Delighted to be here.
Yes, we're very happy and honored to be interviewed. Thank you.
Margaret, let's start with you. Collecting 9 stories, how did you find lesbian families to participate in the writing project?
We all know each other. I'm teasing. Between Meg and I, we know, you know, so many families. Over the years, we did lose 2 of the original families we invited, and then picked up 2. So just living on the East Side, living in Madison, and knowing each other.
Meg, I thought it was so interesting that you focused these stories on the moms and not the their children's experiences of being raised by lesbian parents. And I thought that was an interesting editorial decision. Can you explain that?
Yeah, it was important to us to speak with our own voices, but not to pretend to speak for our children. I think that would have been disrespectful to them and probably not totally accurate. Mm-hmm. I think they have their own book to write.
I wonder if you could, Margaret, give us a glimpse into your own family dynamics, how old your kids are, how did you end up deciding to have children? What was that journey like for your family?
Our son is 34. Our daughter turns 32 in a couple of days. Meg gave birth to our son, Reed, and I gave birth to our daughter, Grace. We both knew as kids that we wanted to have children of our own. So at some point when we realized we're lesbians, you know, we realized it's going to be a little more challenging. But I'll tell you for myself, I think when I turned 30, I decided I wouldn't date anybody who didn't want children. Because at the time, most lesbians were not interested in raising children. So I was just positive I was going to do that. And whenever I heard that somebody wanted children, somebody cute like Meg, I put a little flag up and said, I want to get to know that person. And fortunately, I met Meg, and we were able to pull it off.
Meg, can you talk about how it is different for a family like yours to navigate fertility, to navigate marriage, and to reach a milestone like having a baby?
Well, navigating marriage wasn't an option for us, which, you know, is sort of one of the big parts of the book, is how navigating parenthood was made ever so much more complicated and precarious because we were not able to get married. But navigating fertility is sort of, everybody has to kind of think it through for themselves. And I had an experience we recount in the book where I just assumed, because I'm a lawyer, I just assumed I would never have children with any known father, because I didn't want them to have legal the ability to challenge my parenthood legally, especially if it was a straight man who could marry some woman and have a quote unquote better family to be raised in than a lesbian family. So I had this kind of experience of a daydream where I was sitting, before I had children, before I even knew Margaret, where I was sitting in a couch in my living room and look down, and there are these little legs next to me. And I just had a conversation with this child of mine saying, this is how you came into the world, sperm donor, and we don't know who your father is. And so the dream opens there, and the child says one line. The child says to me, so let me get this straight. You didn't get a custody battle, and I didn't get a dad. And I knew at that moment that we had to find dads. So I thought of all the men I knew and all the wonderful men I knew and all the stable men I knew, men in relationships with other men and men, straight men. And I just realized I knew this couple that I really trusted and valued. And so I asked them.
And you also had to consider questions like, would Mark and Charlie have any financial obligations to the child? Yeah. Would they have the right to see the child? What were these arrangements like for families like yours?
Well, we went through a whole conversation with them about no rights and no responsibilities, and we drew up a contract which we knew ourselves probably wouldn't have much legal effect if the courts decided to ignore it. But I think it was a really valuable exercise. I suspect many heterosexual families would do well doing this too, because it really caused us to say, look, this is what I'm afraid of. This is what how we can create trust. This is what's important to me. And then we were able to sort of shove it in a file drawer and forget about it, because, you know, children come into the situation and they have their own very special needs and talents and skills, and they kind of drive the bus after that.
Margaret, you know, choosing gay men as sperm donors, it minimized the likelihood of a, quote, messy custody battle. Can you talk about that trust?
It certainly felt like they would have less legal rights if they did want to somehow say, I want to see the child every Christmas or every other holiday or, you know, every summer. So that felt a little bit safer. But we've just found two very nice men to father Reed Gaines. So very grateful to Mark and Charlie on that.
The book of essays also talks about in the 1980s, there was the Lesbian Parents Network that was active in Madison. What was the impact of this community support system on families?
I think it was very effective for a lot of people, a lot of people who were searching and didn't necessarily know how they would do it or even whether they could. I think there was a lot of sharing of courage and fear and, you know, a lot of trying to shore each other up and find the strength and the moxie and the technical capabilities to get pregnant.
One essay, Meg, you know, said Madison was a kind of safe haven for lesbian moms. And I'm wondering if you can speak to that. Was there a uniqueness that the city had for these families and how it contributed to their quality of life? You know, many times for the good, sometimes not for the good.
I think it's almost entirely for the good. I think it was, enough lesbian moms here that it wasn't that it was less of an issue. I mean, I moved to Madison in part because I thought it seemed like a safer place. There weren't that many places you could move to in those days if you wanted to have kids. There was New York, Los Angeles, Berkeley, you know, San Francisco. But Madison was unique in the Midwest, I think, and was a really wonderful place to be. And for us, here's another, I didn't think the story didn't make it into the book, but when Reed was born, we were a little nervous going into the hospital as two women and having this baby. And we thought, oh, you know, maybe we'd get like, you know, cold shouldered or something like that, some kind of feeling that of discrimination. But in fact, everyone was just unbelievably delightful to us. And so when we were leaving, I remember turning to this nurse that I had been particularly connected to and saying, gee, you know, we were worried here that maybe, you know, people would judge us or something. And she looked at me and she said, are you kidding me? We have 14-year-olds who we send home with babies. Mm-hmm. If we can send home a baby with two loving adults who really want him, we're delighted. And I just remember thinking, well, of course. I mean, of course, you know, that's their reality. I'm just thinking about my fears. So it was a really, Madison was for the most part, a really wonderful place to raise kids as a lesbian.
We're talking about a new book of essays written by lesbian mothers in Wisconsin. It's called Radical Family, Trailblazing Lesbian Moms Tell Their Stories. Margaret Mooney and Meg Gaines are here, a Wisconsin married couple who organized the book. Margaret, I was really moved by one particular story, Martha and Alex, who end up suing the YMCA of Madison in the 80s. They were just trying to get a family membership, and they kept getting no, no, no. Finally, they get to Shorewood Hills Pool, where they are able to challenge the pool's policy, and they eventually are able to get a membership there. Can you talk about some of these stories and maybe this one where these women really had to be trailblazers? Margaret, you first.
Yeah. Absolutely. Martha and Alex were definitely, you know, when we talk about standing on the shoulders of giants, Martha and Alex were out there helping all of us. They're about 10 years older than us. They're they were just really fighting everything that pushed against them. And Janet writes, similar story. These families really paved the way for younger families. And you might notice if you read all the stories that Meg and I didn't have that many problems, not like that. You know, Martha and Alex were willing to go on Oprah and be interviewed, where they actually got set up by, they didn't realize there'd be some adversaries, on the show. They are our favorite trailblazers, or mine at least. Martha Pop, who has since died since we started this collection, she was just a firecracker. And I think things that she did and the way she lived her life really helped all of us.
And there's this interesting parallel between political activism and trying to change the environment, change the laws, and also this driving conviction of really wanting to be a mother and having like similar qualities in those two aspirations. Meg, can you talk about those parallel universes or those two attributes and kind of how they join forces?
Well, it's interesting you say that because one of the working titles I thought of for the book was Reluctant Pioneers. Because the truth of the matter is that many of the women in this book only just really wanted to be mothers, but they didn't have any choice but to be pioneers because it wasn't an option. I mean, unless you chose not to be out, right? Unless you chose to marry a guy and pretend to be, you know, happy. So being a mom was everybody's most fundamental desire in the book. You know, that was the deepest kind of most tectonic, if you will, desire. And the advocacy came because once you're a mama, anybody messes with your babies and they're going to have trouble. And so, you know, for us, for instance, I got really, really sick and was told that I wasn't going to live and, you know, just came crashing down on us. We have no social security. We have no ability to protect Margaret's connection with Reed. We have no, we have no safety net. There's no legal safety net around us. And so we began this expensive and intense process of establishing guardianship and, you know, hoping that if the worst happened, that would be effective. But that's a terrible feeling. You're realizing you cannot protect your children because your country won't allow it is a pretty powerful motivator. So many of us were more reluctant pioneers, but we became that anyway, trailblazers, you know?
I want to touch, though, on the HIV/AIDS crisis. And there's this one point where Jeff is deathly ill, dying from AIDS. He's a sperm donor. I think the little girl's Erin, who is in grade school, doesn't know, you know, Jeff. And the mom is, you know, consulting a psychologist about the meeting. Can you talk about those difficult relations with the threat of AIDS in that time and what it was like for a family?
I actually love that story. I'm glad you brought it up because what happened in the end is that Erin got a grandmother. She met her dad right before he died, but she got his mother out of it, you know, because of Gail being strong and, you know, everyone moving forward. But several people if you get sperm from a sperm bank, it's tested for HIV, but some people who use live sperm, they definitely made sure that the sperm was, that the donor did not have HIV. So it was definitely an issue back then, you know, the 80s. In fact, Charlie and Mark, who we already brought up, they've lost many friends from AIDS.
Margaret, what do you hope people take with them after reading these essays?
I think that I would like people to be more open-minded in general and just realize everyone just wants to be happy. You know, people are doing the best they can, trying to live their life with integrity and love and courage. And, you know, we just wanted to be moms. We just wanted to have a family. And I'm really proud of everyone in this book who made that happen.
Well, Meg and Margaret, thank you for this book. And thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Kate.
Thank you, Kate.
That is Margaret Mooney and Meg Gaines, a Wisconsin married couple who organized the new book, Radical Family, Trailblazing Lesbian Moms Tell Their Stories.